and welcome to the Property Unleashed with me, Mark Fitzgerald. And today I am joined by our serviced accommodation business expert, Graham Lindley, who is coming from us all the way from sunny Portugal.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Hello, everyone.
I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing not as well as you, sat in the sunshine there, and we're in, you know, grey old Britain. But it's great to see you, my friend. I guess, you know, the high life of having a systemized serviced accommodation business, would you say?
Yeah, I needed some vitamin D, and I've got a friend that was popping out for a few days. I said, well, look, I'll join you. It's it's the least I can do. So, yeah, it's been very nice to come back out. We're just down in the Algarve for a few days, so beautiful out here.
Very nice, very nice. Now, I wanted to ask Graham to come back on, and he's delighted me by saying he would, even though he's on holiday at the moment. So great stuff, great stuff. But at the end of the day, I get asked a lot of questions about serviced accommodation, about how to start a serviced accommodation business. People are scared, people are worried, you know, there's always fear involved in everything. So what I wanted to do, and what I am going to do now, because Graham's here, is ask him a few of the questions that people have been asking me, to put them out there to sort of help people who are interested in getting started in serviced accommodation. Is that all right with you, Graham?
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
So if we do get a little bit of wind buffer as well, it's just because, Graham, if you can't see him, if you're not watching this on YouTube, he is sat outside in the Algarves with a swimming pool in the background. And yes, I am very jealous.
It's not a holiday, mate. I'm here for work, obviously.
Yeah. Of course. It looks like hard work.
Honesty, sort of work. It's a good mix. And this is how I like to do things, you know, and you know, it's what our business coach calls life by design. And that's the ultimate purpose here, why we like to get into business in the first place. What kind of lifestyle do we want to have? And then shaping business around that. So actually today, I've got a whole day of meetings. I will be conducting them from here, which is a very nice place to be. But also, I've got a client meeting. I've got a client who actually lives in Portugal, so I'll be going to see him later. So it's a real nice mix of pleasure and business. And that's ultimately the lifestyle I want. It's maybe not for everyone, but for me, it suits me, absolutely.
No, I think that's brilliant. And as I say, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, will you?
That's it. You know it.
So let's just start initially then with a bit of sort of mindset. How important do you think mindset is when people are starting any sort of project or starting to get into serviced accommodation?
Yeah, I think it's everything. And that's why all of module one in our course is all around mindset. And I talk to a lot of our new clients and students, you know, are you taking your time on this mindset stuff? Is it new to you? You've got to really take it seriously. It's the bedrock. It's the foundation. You build everything else on top of that. If you don't have your head in the right gear, I don't think you may get some luck. You may have some success come your way, but business and good business is about making things sustainable, i.e. you're going to sustain your success. And look, it's not always easy. You get challenges along the way, and that's why you need the right mindset. You've got to understand how to overcome challenges and how to enjoy it as well along the way, and enjoy those challenges, not avoid them. And I think so much of normal life, if you like, especially because, you know, I had a job for the best part of 20 years. I understand what it's like. And a lot of having a job is about avoiding challenges and avoiding anything too difficult. Whereas business, it does take a shift of mindset where you got to seek it out almost. You've got to get outside your comfort zone. You've got to seek out what's difficult. You've got to look forward to overcoming challenges, because it's not like you suddenly stop having challenges one day. You know, it's like you solve a whole load of challenges. What was challenges to us in our early days? That still happens. I just have those things handled by a team now. It's not like I no longer have challenges to deal with. I've just got much bigger challenges. And so it's about aligning the idea that you want challenges because that is growth. That is success manifesting itself. And so if you don't have the right mindset around that, you're going to struggle. So, yeah, we call it success hacking or growth mindset. Whatever it is, it's essential.
And of course, success doesn't always happen overnight. You can have quick success, but it's like, you know, looking at you now, you haven't just, you know, started to do SA last month and all of a sudden you're now where you are. You know, it's taken years, isn't it, to get to where you wanted to get it to?
Yeah, in some respects, I have to pinch myself because it just it feels like a lifetime. In other respects, you know, yeah, it's I think we're 7 years in now, but COVID obviously knocked us back massively. Where I'd be without that, I don't know. But in retrospect, it probably did me good as well. It was almost like a forced slowdown, reconvene, as it were. But yeah, it's not about overnight success at all. It's about that consistent growth. And, you know, I'm a big believer, if you're not growing, you're dying. There is no plateauing in business. You know, business is about growth. So and business and self, you know, you've got to constantly look at where you're at and appreciate where you've come from. Absolutely. Not just compare yourself to people that are better than you, but surround yourself with people that are ahead of you. So you've got that inspiration and that desire to keep growing. But I do think it's important to always recognize and be grateful for where you've come as well, you know. And ultimately, that's the competition that matters. It's, you're competing with your past self, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you're looking for a flash in the pan success, it really is going to be a flash in the pan. And you know, this is why I just don't understand people that don't do business honestly. You know, like, that's part of the mindset. It's about having integrity. It's about building a good reputation. Someone who delivers on their word. That's what success is. You know, you become known for delivering what you say you're going to deliver, and that's what you need to be successful. You need to have a reputation that precedes you. Don't think, right, I want to grab what I can, take what I can, make as much as I can as quick as I can, because it's just going to be very short-lived, you know, and you won't really enjoy it, and you're just on from one hustle straight onto the next. And yeah, it's that, for me, is just not the way to do business.
Well, no, that's it. And of course, sticking with, you know, the business, building it and systemizing it, surviving COVID, obviously, you know, you're the biggest service accommodation provider in your area, you know, over 145 units, which is massive. You've systemized the business. You've got people working for you in the business now that do a fantastic job for you. And that helps you function to be able to go off and do business, you know, in Portugal and traveling around and stuff like that as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Business growth isn't just about bigger numbers, more units, more profit. It's about growing a team. It's about growing your skill set as a business. And what I mean by that is, you know, so someone once told me being an effective leader is about building yourself out of the business, replacing yourself with people that are better than you. You know, so I've got people that are better than me at organizing things, that are, you know, essentially in charge of operations. I've got people that are better than me at customer service, heading that side of the business up. So yeah, business growth is about adding the skills, adding the people around you. And it's also, it's about de-risking as well, of course. It's no longer a central point of failure, all on me. It's, you know, and again, that's what I love about business growth, is as you grow, you're actually de-risking, you're increasing your income streams, you know, where the money's coming from, and you're building a bigger team. So there's no one person that things rely on, whether it's you as a business leader or your one or two employees. You know, you want a good team and you want people around them, and then you've got something successful. So I can go offline. In fact, over here, for some reason, my mobile network isn't roaming, and it's not really been an issue. I'm going for like 3 or 4 hour walks with no connection to the outside world. And I just know that everything's going to carry on fine without me, you know? So yeah, that's what you want.
Of course it is. And that's what we've put it together in the Ultimate Business Builder training program as well, which takes you from complete novice, complete beginner, maybe not even knowing about serviced accommodation, to be able to build, you know, a six-figure, sustainable, systemized serviced accommodation business. But let me move on to the next question. Sure. So this is one that we get asked all the time. How do you know if you have a good area for serviced accommodation?
I think just look as if you are a guest, you know, look at booking some accommodation in an area that you're looking at. That's the ultimate thing you can do. Initially start on the big search engines, then go to the, what we call OTAs, the online travel agents, Airbnb, booking.com being the biggest. And then if you're looking at a particular property type within a particular area, you know, how many guests would that property type take? And from there, you can start searching, refining your search, seeing what nightly rates are going at, seeing how booked up the potential competitors are. And don't think you've got to find an area where there is no competition. That's where my head was at. When I very first started looking at getting into business, I was thinking, well, I needed to carve out my own niche that was literally only me doing it. And actually, the truth is the opposite. You want to find where there is a healthy market, plenty of competition, because it proves there's a market. If there is no need for accommodation in an area and there's no demand, you won't really find many operators there. So yeah, just look as if you're a guest. Find what the competition or potential competition is doing, and then you can start to work out how viable certain types of properties are.
Brilliant. Great advice. Another one is it important to set yourself up as a business from the word go if you're doing serviced accommodation?
Yeah, I mean, certainly from my perspective, like, it's not a side hustle. I think forget about the idea of passive income, especially in serviced accommodation. It is active. It's a very active business, probably one of the more active ones in most property things you can be doing, to be honest with you. So yeah, start with the end in mind. And if you're thinking, well, get it off the ground, prove it, and then we'll start a business. It's like, well, if you're going to be starting a business, why not just do that from the get-go? Because it almost sets the tone for everything else you're doing. And especially when you're going out and trying to negotiate with landlords and agents and whoever else is the gatekeepers to you succeeding, if you're playing at it as a side hustle, that will come through. If you've started a business, you've got a brand name, you've got professional branding, you've got a website domain, professional email addresses, you can do all of that very, very cheap these days, very inexpensive. It doesn't even take very long to set up. But that sets the tone for everything you're doing then. You know, you're coming at it as a true professional. And that's what it takes. That's what we teach, right? You've got to be a professional. If you want to be successful, treat it like you would as a professional. And I think a lot of people get imposter syndrome at that point, going, well, I'm not that person yet. So that's going back to mindset. That's why mindset's so important. It's like, well, everyone starts there. You've got to realize everyone goes through that, right? And you've got to project forward. So I love what James Khan says from Dragon's Den. You know, it's a bit similar to fake it till you make it, but it's about, he says perception becomes reality. Yeah. So you almost start imagining what would a successful version of me with a small portfolio of service accommodation, what would that person look like, speak like, dress like, you know, walk like, and just start becoming that straight away from the get-go. Don't wait until you're successful before you start becoming that, because otherwise it's this thing that's ever eluding you. It's always going to be in the future. So start becoming that straight away. And yeah, maybe initially you do have to act the role, but it will soon become natural.
Yeah. And I think it is, you know, if you 100% believe it in yourself and can get yourself to that sort of point, you're going to find deals, you're going to do good deals, you're going to build a good sustainable business. If you're doing it half-assed at the end of the day, then you're going to get half-assed results. And that's where a lot of people, in my opinion, fail. So great answer on that one, mate. How quickly can you scale a serviced accommodation business, in your opinion?
Wow, depends how you define scaling. I think you've got to go for strategic growth. You can't just, I think getting off the ground is quite difficult. But as we've proven now with lots of our students, it's entirely possible. We've got some guys doing really, really well. But once you're off the ground, I mean, there's a saying I like. I keep referring to different sayings, but these things matter. And I think they become a bit cliche, but they do so because there is actually depth to them. There is actually truth within them. So I think that's why they kind of ring true in my mind, and I always go back to them. But, you know, to succeed in business, you need to learn to start saying yes. So many people, especially with employee mindset, they see problems with things and they look at reasons why things might not work. And especially you might get it with family members as well. You're getting something off the ground or you've got ideas and people are always pointing at why it might not work. And actually, to get off the ground, you need to just say, well, what if it does work? You need, rather than waiting for the planets to align, just be like, learning to say yes is actually quite difficult. But then to stay in business, you need to learn to say no. Because what happens, you get things off the ground, you start realizing, oh, this is quite easy. Yes, we can do this. And then you start spotting opportunities everywhere. And of course, once you've already got something that is, like, you've built something that's successful, you know, we call it selling without selling. We don't go to people and start trying to pitch to them. We go to people and we start talking about the success we've already generated for other people and our clients. And of course, then once you've got that, getting additional deals over the line becomes much easier. So actually scaling is something that you need to do strategically and not just say yes to everything. You need to say yes to only the right things. You need to learn to say no, because otherwise you just spread yourself too thin. You're very likely to get burnout. And, you know, if you don't grow the systems and the team with the number of units, you've got to really kind of step it up and keep that commercial balance as you're scaling. So I'd say it's a problem at the start that you think is going to be a problem, but actually probably the opposite is true.
I think it goes back to the age old saying as well, that you don't know what you don't know. So if you are starting to build this and put this together and you haven't got the full facts and advice to be able to, you know, systemize the business and to be able to scale it, and like you say, build it in stages, then you can just end up creating yourself a massive headache, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So, is it hard to get serviced accommodation deals?
Yes and no. So I think the first is always the most difficult. Like we say, once you've got at least one over the line, you know, you can start talking about what you're already doing. And we don't encourage anyone to, you know, to make things up. You know, you've got to be honest. And that's why I think starting with a proper business and proper branding helps. But ultimately, it's a numbers game. And again, it goes back to mindset. You know, the only difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person is the successful person kept trying, kept going. From, you know, you're going to have to go through a whole load of no's to get to your first yes. It is simply a numbers game. And then once you get that first one, it becomes much, much easier.
Brilliant, brilliant. And if you know, for people that are starting out and things, how much would you say you'd need to budget for setting up a serviced accommodation? Let's just say it was either a two-bed, you know, terraced house or a two-bed apartment or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So sometimes there'll be some deposit and, you know, some security you might need to put down, especially if you are new and you don't really have that track record. So there's that to factor in, and that might be a month's rent or so, or, you know, around £1,000. And then you might want to consider what your market positioning is going to be. You know, in other words, you're going to be budget accommodation, or you're going to be, you know, just middle of the road, or you're going to go for the luxury vibe, because you can spend anything from probably low two, so around £2,500, all the way up to £10,000 on furnishing a two-bed apartment. I mean, our average is probably, because we're in the Midlands, there isn't a huge amount of demand for the high-end stuff. But we've got to keep it clean, practical, nice, and all of that. So we probably spend an average of around £3,500-£4,000 on a two-bed. But then there's options to lease furniture. There is potentially people can put things on 0% credit cards if they've got access to those, just to help disperse some of that initial cost.
I also see and hear a lot of people, they want to get into serviced accommodation. They like the idea of the profits and everything like that, but they're scared to manage the units themselves. Would you say it's really difficult to manage serviced accommodation units?
No, because I like management much more so than rent to rent. And I think rent to rent is probably a really good way of getting off the ground. But then, you know, one of the things we encourage our students to do is to set up a separate management company. You've got then a way of managing your own units, of course, but then starting to manage for others. And it's a more tax efficient way of growing things. There's less risk. There's less liability on you. But also you've got a business model which lends itself quite nicely to getting team members on board and getting staff on board. And initially, obviously, the go-to is housekeepers. You know, some people have their own service accommodation and do their own housekeeping because they're thinking it's saving money, but also it's stopping you from growing and stopping you from scaling. So, you know, by getting a management business, it's easier to have staff. And the reason I say that is because the highs and the lows aren't quite so extreme with management. You know, you're always going to be making some revenue, even if it's a quiet January month, you'll still be making some revenue. Whereas on a rent to rent, you might be subsidizing your business and making all the money in the summer. Well, if you've got staff on top of that, it starts getting quite difficult to cash flow that business. So with management, it allows you to start building up a team. And then, of course, it's just about removing bottlenecks, you know. you as the business owner being probably the number one bottleneck in the early days. And again, a lot of that is mindset, you know, not wanting to let go of the baby, thinking that no one else can do it as well as you. No one cares as much. And there's elements of truth to that. You need to be willing to let go and allow things to not be quite as good as you'd really like. But ultimately, you're here to build a business, make money, and to make something sustainable. And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as well, you know, Zach and Eve, who have been on the podcast and YouTube channel before, you know, they started with Rent to Rent, didn't they? And of course, that was all they were looking at. They joined the program, and they're scaling management now, and they're absolutely flying, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the course, we go really into detail as to why you want to do management and how exactly you set that up the right way. But yeah, ultimately, Rent to Rent, I mean, I started, if you think about my journey, I started with 4 units on Rent to Rent, and I kind of, it was so much risk at the time. The rent alone was more than what I was earning in a job. And I just thought I could just about justify this risk. I was pretty, you know, I was in my early 30s and early to mid 30s. I could sustain the risk, but I certainly couldn't multiply that by 10, you know. And that's where my head was at. Can I, everything I was building, that, you know, the systems, the processes, it was all about, can I multiply this by 10? And I just couldn't multiply the liability, the risk, by 10. And that's the problem. That's one of the main problems with Rent to Rent. So yeah, Zach and Eve, they've done the course. They're good students. They listen well, and they execute. And it is ultimately, it's all about taking action. You know, that's what it comes down to, taking action and overcoming challenges, overcoming the no's, and pushing forwards. And those guys have really shown how it's done. And we've got, in fact, they've got someone, Michael, who's another student and quite close to where they're located. We've got a little bit of healthy competition going on amongst the students now as well, which is fantastic. And I remember in my early days, I really appreciated that. You know, 1 month I'd come back and go, right, I've got all these new units. And the guys I was competing with were like, well, we've implemented all these systems and processes and ways of doing things. I was like, right, I need some of that because things are a bit chaotic for me. So having people to grow with as well, I think, pushes you on. So yeah, those guys are really leaning into that, and it's working, which is, it's just so good to see. I love it. I get so much fulfillment out of seeing other people succeed, and being able to kind of have a part to play in that. It's it's very, very fulfilling.
Well, that's it. And that's why we designed it the way we did at the end of the day. So we have a Facebook group where everybody's in there constantly, you know, like you say, competing with each other, but friendly competition. It's almost pushing them to success, isn't it? It's pushing them further forward so that they are, you know, they're getting out there more and more. And they're like, well, you've got a unit now. I want to get another unit. I'm going to go and get 3 units. And it is great to see. It is great to be a part of. And of course, on the coaching calls as well, and this is all part of the program, you know, this package here, as I say, takes you from complete novice to setting up a business, but it's hand holding at the end of the day. We've got the community, the Facebook community. We've also got the coaching calls that, of course, we're on all the time as well. We're helping and supporting and pushing people forward. And if you go out there and take the actions, you will succeed. You will grow serviced accommodation business. And this year in 2023, where we are right here and now, there's a lot of landlords, a lot of investors, a lot of people out there that need our help and support. And of course, if you've already got a property portfolio that maybe isn't performing as well as it should be, then have a little look at potentially turning it into short-term rentals, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got one or two students that have been doing that with their own portfolio. And in fact, initially thinking that's all they were going to do. And then from doing the course, they realize, right, there is an opportunity here. If nothing else, just to get, just to justify getting those team members in. And, you know, sometimes it is broad brush man maths that you need. You go, how many units do I need to get that member of staff who's then going to take away 80% of my workload? And it becomes a bit of a no-brainer. But yeah, the group coaching calls really work. I think, you know, learning vicariously is fantastic. You know, there is understanding other people's challenges and how they're overcoming them and what you would do. And it really just helps, sharpen the pencil on your skill set. But then also, yeah, it's about knowing what knowledge to apply. I think we live in an age today where there's just so much information everywhere. And we've had people, we've had some students come on, they've done other courses, and then they realize there's like 10 times the amount of value and content with us. And that's why we called it the Ultimate Business Builder. We really wanted to, everything you need to build a successful business, and put it in here. And the only downside when there is a lot of content is it's then knowing, well, okay, I've got a deal now. I've got something tangible to look at. I've got something in front of me. I've got to go and speak to the landlord next week. And being able to bring that into the group coaching sessions and walk through it, I think a lot of people are finding a huge amount of benefit from that.
Oh, they are. They are. Well, I'm seeing it myself, but it's nice to be on there. It's nice to see what people are picking up, and then having the, you know, the confidence to be able to go out there and take it. That is one thing that I just wanted to touch on you, and that is revenue management, because I think it's vastly overlooked when it comes to service accommodation. And revenue management is the life and blood of your business, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's one of the things I say to the guys that have got a team. And they've got a lot of they've matured, let's say, and they've got a lot of kind of decent established processes and systems for the team to follow. It's one of the tasks that I actually encourage business owners to hang on to for as long as possible. It's probably one of the most high value things you can be doing in your business, and it really can make or break it, you know. So knowing not just how low you can go when things are quiet, but also how to really push it, and knowing and having that familiarity with the market, which you just build up over time. And you don't just set price. It's not set and forget. And some people run things like that, which is incredible. But there's also quite advanced strategies as well. And, you know, I don't want to talk about them here, because I see so many of my competitors and our students' competitors just ignoring the opportunities that there are in revenue management. And when you get it right, you can really, you know, start massively increasing your success. Like, there is easy ways to reduce costs and increase income, and the number one way of doing that is with revenue management. You know, what are you charging per night, and how many nights are your minimum stays? It's there's a lot of leeway in changing the success for you and your clients with that.
Like I say, it's something that I think is vastly overlooked, and it's something that you go into. It's a massive module when you go into it, because it is the life and blood of your business. And it also means that potentially somebody might be out there trying to get 10 units. You may only have 5 or 6 units, but still be making the same sort of money that they're making, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it really can make that much difference.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I'd like to, first of all, thank you for joining me today, but we haven't finished just yet, because before I let you go on to your next meetings and things like that, what Graham and myself would like to do is to invite you to come and join us on the 27th of March at 8 p.m. on Zoom. We are going to be holding a free serviced accommodation training, which is the 10 steps to building your ultimate serviced accommodation business. We're going to take you step by step through the 10 steps that we say you need to have a handle on to set up a serviced accommodation business. We will also, at the end of this, be live to be able to answer any of your questions. And we have a fantastic special offer for people that attend as well. So if you are interested in that, you will see a link in the show notes below, or you will be able to register your interest to come and join us there and your place. We are limited in places, so make sure that you take advantage of this ASAP, because once we are full, we are full. And we've done this before, and I had to actually turn people away because we didn't have enough spaces for them. So make sure that you register your interest as soon as possible. It's going to be a fantastic night. Again, the 27th of March at 8 p.m. It's going to be about 45 minutes, 60 minutes of training. And then we will be hanging around at the end to answer any of your questions, to make sure that when you leave there, you've got all the facts and you know exactly what it is you want to be doing to move yourself forward. You're looking forward to that one, Graham?
I am, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, it's one of the things we discuss in module one of the course around mindset. It's about over delivering and delivering value, and that's everything, right? That's what we're all about. So yeah, it will be high value. We want people to come in and feel like that it's definitely worth their time, especially in an evening when you could be relaxing and spending time with your family. So, you know, it means a lot to us, of course, and so we're going to make sure we fill it with lots of value.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And we are all about massive value, because we want to make sure that people are out there using this fantastic strategy to build businesses that can potentially change their lives for the better. Get you out of that 9-to-5 job if you're hating it, or even just do it alongside your 9-to-5 job as a side business, which can which can obviously bring your income up and make sure that you are, you know, building a legacy piece or whatever it is that makes you happy. So I'm going to now leave Graham to go and enjoy the sunshine and the business meetings he's going to be on with. I thank you ever so much, everybody, for joining me. Thank you for joining me, Graham. It's great to have you.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers. No problem. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, then check out the links below. Check out the propertyunleashed.com to register for the webinar. If you're listening to this or watching this after the webinar, you will still be able to download our 10-step free guide. And if you have any questions or you're interested in the Ultimate Serviced Accommodation Business Builder Program, feel free to reach out to us at hello@thepropertyunleashed.com. Just ask for some more information and we will send you across the information that you need. I hope that you've enjoyed this. I do hope that you have your vision or you're working on your vision to get yourself out there in the future. With your vision, all you have to do is break that down into goals, break your goals down into bite-sized chunks and tasks to help move you forward week in and week out. Review those goals and push yourself forward. You all take care and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.